I believe that we all have enemies, difficulties, struggles, things that we could call giants in our lives. You know, those body paralyzing fears, fear of death that grips us at the edge of the Grand Canyon or on a very high floor in a skyscraper. Whenever those moments are when you say, whoa, I'm about this far away from, you know, being no more, one wrong step. Those soul-sickening addictions that come in all kinds of different forms. We certainly understand these days about substance abuse and the difficulties that are attached to that. Painkillers of all kinds. We know about mood-altering experiences that we can become addicted to, of all kinds. Sinful behaviors that just seem to have their hook in us, that we can't seem to get rid of. Things that where there's somebody bigger than us on the other end of that line, and it just seems like we're as powerless as a fish. Heartbreaking home and relationship wreckers. Those things in our lives that are just seem bigger than us. You know, that anger thing. We know it's not good. It just erupts sometimes and drives people away, hurts people. But it's this big giant that just appears on the ridge every once in a while and yells out at us and mocks us. What can we do? Those mind-numbing peace robbers. Those huge things in our lives that have us laying awake at night, unable to get to sleep or waking up. Realizing that it's another one of those dreams about that giant. God-mocking faith stealers. Those things in our lives that we just aren't going to be able to trust God with. I mean, we can trust Him with a lot of things, but not that. It's too big. It's got to be beyond God, because we know it's bigger than us. You know, oftentimes these giants are almost invisible. They never seem to be very far away. And when we see them, we always see them standing as giants before us. So big, so powerful. What can we do? Well, you know, the story of David and Goliath helps us. And I know what you're thinking. I know what the temptation is right now. You know, we're coming to this story because we're preaching our way through. We're teaching our way. We're looking at the book of 1 Samuel. I think this is the first time I've ever actually done a sermon on this story. It's one we've all heard a lot of times. Little David, the little shepherd boy coming to give lunch to his brothers, and nobody's going to challenge the giant. So little David says, I will. Let me at him. And I know the tendency is for us to think, well, wait a minute, come on. You know, that's a story. It happened way back when. I mean, fine for him. But what if our giant only seems to be knocked out, knocked over, dead? And when we go to pull out his sword to cut off his head, he jumps up and grabs us by the throat. You know, what if our little rock misses the giant's forehead and just makes him madder? What if our spear-rattling and counter-trash-talking and divine invocations have no effect on him? Bounces off, doesn't seem to worry him at all. What if our lack of armor is exploited by the well-armed enemy? What if we can't find anybody anywhere to agree that we have any kind of chance at all against this giant? Well, here's the key question for us, I think. Key question for me. I think it's a key question for us today as we look at the story of David and Goliath, of David slaying the giant. And that question is this: when did David gain the victory over Goliath of Gath? Well, let's take a look at our story today. I'm going to read the second half of our text for today. Thank you to Amanda for reading the first half for us. Thank you to our children's choirs for helping to present the sermon today. I'm going to pick up in verse 41 of 1 Samuel 17. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. So, when did David gain the victory over Goliath of Gath? When he showed his victory by cutting off his head, answering the door when opportunity knocked him down? No, it was before that. When that fateful rock happened to hit the giant squarely on the forehead, good follow through. And a little bit of luck. Beneficial circumstances? No, it was before that. When he surprised him with the uncommon courage of a young warrior, calling his bluff and planting doubt by standing up to his derision. Human strength and boldness? I mean, you'll hear that one a lot today. If you just believe in yourself, you can do it. Anything. You can stand up to anything if you just have courage. No, it was before that. When he rejected the conventional armor of Saul and selected instead his familiar and advantageous rocks and sling. I mean, it's a matter of superior human strategy. Now, it was before that. When the people in power gave David the opportunity to become the hero, was it a matter of human permission, official sanction, and popular acclaim? Go get him, David. You can do it. Really, if you all believe in me, maybe I can. No, no, it was before that. When did David gained the victory over Goliath of Gath? When he chose to be God's champion. When he decided that God's honor was worth fighting for. When he offered himself to stand against the giant in the power of God, giving himself into the danger of opposing the frightening enemy of God's people, trusting in God's help against this enemy. That is when David gained the victory. David was God's champion. It begins this champion that was David. This being God's champion begins with David's will, his decision in his heart. He offered himself for the fight against God's enemy. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." And then it was about David's confidence. He trusted in God's willingness and ability to help him. "Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." And finally, David was God's champion because of David's goal. He wanted to see God glorified. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." David's will to be God's champion, to offer himself for God's fight. David's confidence in the presence and the power of the living God, and David's goal of seeing his God, the living God, the God of Israel, the only God there really is, glorified through him. So what changed when David decided God was God and he would be his champion? Well, seems to me, first of all, Goliath's true identity was then revealed. David and his people's giant enemy turned out to be God's tiny opponent. You see, David's brothers and their whole army saw Goliath and saw a giant enemy, one that they weren't going to be able to defeat, one who was simply going to be the end point of somebody's suicide mission, hopefully not theirs. That was the reality that they knew. Who was Goliath? Goliath was the big, giant enemy threatening problem beyond any of them. The reality, of course, that was revealed when David, again, not even part of the army, he was out there bringing lunch to his brothers. When David steps forward and says, "I'll be God's champion," the curtain parts, and now, it took a while for people to see it, but now we all can see it. David and his brothers and their army's giant problem, giant enemy, was nothing other than God's tiny opponent. And then David's true identity was revealed. He stood not merely in his own little power and strength, but in God's unlimited power and mighty strength. Now this true identity of David is the essence of David's life. We're going to see it as we progress through 1 Samuel, and maybe someday we'll actually go into 2 Samuel together and explore more of David's life. David's life was not a happy one in many, many ways. David was not a good man by human standards. A scoundrel in many ways, and we're going to see that. But here, I think, is the essence of David, the secret of David. The reason why David was called then and for all time and still today, the man after God's own heart. The reason why later, when a certain Jesus of Nazareth was born in a town of Bethlehem, people called it the city of David. Why the glory years of Israel as a political entity were ushered in through the escapades and the leadership, mixed as it was, of one David. It was because David was always connected to the living God. In his triumphs, he was connected. In his failures, he was connected. In his life, he was connected. The essence of David's identity revealed here before Goliath and the armies was the essential identity that carried him through life and made him a champion for God all the way through. He always stands with God. Sometimes standing in God's judgment, but then he stood in God's judgment. Sometimes standing in God's power, and he stood in God's power. And then, what else was revealed? The reality of the circumstances. I mean, what's going on here? Well, human impossibility is going on here. Have you seen the size of that guy? I mean, come on. He's not in any of our weight classes. He's a seasoned veteran. We know about Goliath. He's legend. Nobody can fight him. Nobody can win. It's impossible. And then David steps forward as God's champion, and the real circumstances are revealed. Human impossibility? Uh-uh. Divine inevitability. What people think is impossible, God says has to happen and will. And then finally, what changes when David steps forward? The living God's true identity is revealed. Who is this God? Well, he is the true and almighty, everlasting and undefeated champion of his people. You didn't know that before, did you? Ah, but here comes David, God's champion, and he reveals who the real champion is. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. Now, I know that there's a temptation now. I know it because I feel it. I'm a pastor. I'm not supposed to, but I know it's there for us to say, oh, that's nice. Nice sermon, Pastor. You know, it's an old story. Come on, it probably didn't even happen. It's a legend, you know, Robin Hood, Star Wars. You know, I mean, the Jewish people, you know, they had some kind of battle with the Philistines maybe way back when, you know, and maybe they had some victory, and then they kind of made up this story about this shepherd boy, and it made everyone feel good, raw, you know, encourage people. Motivational speech, you know, that kind of thing. But it didn't really happen. Okay? Let me submit to you that that is a giant. A giant that we need to throw rocks at. I think the essential dynamic of what is going on with David. When did he gain the victory? When he chose to be God's champion. What did it mean to be God's champion? All that goes. And what changed when someone, just one guy, was willing to step forward and be God's champion in that situation? A lot of stuff changed. I think that essential situation is exactly the same for us today. Our giant enemies, what can we do against them? Well, nothing much by ourselves. In our own strength, for our own purposes, and to our own honor and glory? Not much. And you know what? We could all compare stories about all the defeats, all the failures to beat those giant enemies of one kind or another. Addiction, debt, fear. But what if we stopped worrying about our enemies and started thinking instead about God's enemies? What if we determined whether or not our giants are God's enemies and then fight them for Him. Body paralyzing fears. Fear of looking foolish before other people. Fear of not having enough. Fear of death. Are these God's enemies? Soul-sickening addictions of all kinds. Substances, experiences, entertainment. Are these giants in our lives God's enemies? Heartbreaking home and relationship wreckers, mind-numbing peace robbers, God-mocking faith stealers. Are these God's enemies? What if we trust in God's willingness and ability to help us to defeat His enemies? For His glory. What if our goal becomes God's glory before and higher than even our goal of health and wholeness, which is a very good goal. I think it's God's goal for us as well. What if the reality of the situation for God's people is that God actually is working, has worked, and will accomplish the ultimate goal of our absolute, complete health and wholeness for all eternity? What if that's where we're going? What if our impossibility is divine inevitability? What if we step forward to be champions for God against the giants in our lives because they are God's enemies? What might change? Maybe our enemy's true identity would be revealed. Big to us, oh so small to God. What if then our own true identity was revealed? God's champions. And you know what? Yeah, David won. He killed Goliath. Goliath fell over. Gee, that never entered my mind before. And won the victory. That's the way that played out. What if he hadn't? I know I'm rewriting the story. This is probably blasphemy of one kind or another. Don't kick me out of the church, but what if it hadn't? What if he'd have thrown that stone and it bounced off of the shield and Goliath came and killed David? Would David have then not been God's champion? He still would have been God's champion. And then we'd be reading the story differently, but it would still be a story of how God triumphed over his enemies using people like his champion David, who died that day. I mean, look at Jesus. Jesus faced that giant Roman Empire. Jesus faced those gone wrong people of God who had no clue what it meant. People that should have known him who didn't see God standing right before him. He stood against those giants and he put the little rock in his sling and he swung it around and then he laid it down on the ground and he put himself on a cross and he died. And he was God the champion, wasn't he? When did he gain the victory? Well, he gained the victory from all eternity. When he became who he was, which was forever because he always was who he was victory waiting to happen. Maybe we reveal our own true identity and true destiny as we step forward to be a champion for God against those giants in our lives. Maybe then the reality of our circumstances is revealed. Impossible? No. Inevitable. We must have the victory over those giants in the name of Jesus. Why not today? And God's true identity is revealed. We can be his champion because Jesus Christ is ours. Jesus has defeated our great enemies, sin and death, by the power of the cross. The rock that has knocked out evil and one day will take its sword out of its scabbard and cut off its head. In the midst of all our frightening battles with dark powers, with limited strength, he is with us as our true and almighty, everlasting and undefeatable champion. This day, the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head, and the whole world will know that there is a God in my life. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the story, the reality of David and Goliath. Lord, for this man, a mixed up man in many ways, but a man who chose to be your champion, to connect with you and to stay connected with you in the good times and in the tough times, when he was afraid and when he was confident, when he was a good boy and when he was a bad boy. Lord, may we do the same. May we step forward against those giants in our lives, those giants in our world, and say, I'll fight them. I'll fight them today for you, for your honor, for your glory, for your purposes. And Lord, may we then see you for who you are, and see ourselves for who we are, and see our circumstances for what they are. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.